Hello, everyone. Welcome to day four of the 1 Samuel audio devotional. I am Chad Inman, and I am so glad to be joining you. Today, we will explore the third chapter of 1 Samuel. But first, a quick recap. Our story, like any good Old Testament soap opera, begins with a love triangle. Elkanah has two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah has children, while Hannah is unable to. Not surprisingly, there are relational issues in the household, and Peninnah gives Hannah a hard time about being childless. So a quick note about this. In biblical times, a woman's worth was tied to her child-rearing, and for this reason, in this, and several other Old Testament stories, God intervenes. God answers Hannah's prayers for a child, who she names Samuel. Side note, before Samuel's birth, Hannah goes to the tabernacle, which is where worship took place at that time, to pray. She prays so vigorously that she mouths the words while praying silently. Eli, the priest, in one of many underwhelming moments, mistakes Hannah's prayer for drunken behavior. So, if you ever feel bad for misreading a situation, just remember this blunder and you're sure to feel better. Continuing on, Hannah decides to give Samuel back to God as an assistant to the not-so-impressive priest, Eli. She does so after Samuel is weaned. It's worth noting that during biblical times, children were weaned after years, not months. And we don't know exactly what age Samuel was left with Eli, but when Hannah brings him to Eli, she states it's been several years since she was at the tabernacle praying for a child and being called a drunkard. Also, after she leaves her son with Eli, she prays a prayer of praise where she reports having seven children. So if that took place right after, with a little math, we can conclude that Samuel was at least 6 years old at the time. Meanwhile, the priest Eli's sons are completely out of control. They have no respect for God and his practices, and they abuse other people. And if you want to hear more about that, if you haven't listened to the teaching from last Sunday, I definitely encourage you to do that. So continuing on, all the while these terrible things are happening with Eli's sons, Samuel is learning to be a faithful servant of God. And that brings us to today's reading. Samuel chapter 3, which I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from God were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel!" "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel!" Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle, as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. All right, so there is a lot going on in this story. The first thing that sticks out to me in the reading is that God can use anyone to positively impact young people's lives. No one is disqualified, not even adults who scare children with death threats. Super healthy. So spoiler alert, Samuel goes on to become a major player in God's story. I don't need to go into the details. Just keep in mind that this audio devotional is covering one of two books of the Bible named after Samuel. It's safe to assume that God has big plans for him. And with that in mind, I am fascinated by the fact that God places his spiritual formation in the hands of arguably one of the worst parents ever recorded in the Bible. Just as the Great Commission is the responsibility of all Christ followers, so too is it all of our calling to play a role in the discipleship of the young people we encounter. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager or a young adult, if you're parenting your own kids, or are in the later stages of life. God has placed young people in your sphere of influence that he is asking you to be salt and light to, so they will experience God's love. The second thing that got my attention in today's story is the "and" that is taking place. Eli comes face to face with some serious consequences for his failure as a parent, and he still plays an integral role in the faith development of Samuel. Sometimes God allows us to feel very serious consequences for our actions or the actions of others. And still, God is faithful and calls us to be a part of his work as he did with Eli. Now, the story doesn't say much about how Eli processed things, but I believe the key here is that Eli accepted his reality without being dragged into unhealthy shame. We can be honest about our past actions and the wreckage it has caused and still be available to be a part of God's working. The final thing that got my attention was what a young Samuel needed in this story, the things he needed to recognize God. Samuel, like so many of the young people we encounter, lacked perspective. He did not have previous experience to know what was going on. So it was up to Eli, with all his flaws, to give Samuel the perspective he needed. And once he did, some amazing things happened. So we can all play this role of Eli by, first, listening instead of dismissing. You know, at first, Eli didn't know what was going on, and he had dismissed Samuel's experience, telling him to go back to bed. It wasn't until Eli truly listened to Samuel's sharing that he was able to give helpful and authentic instruction. Next, by asking questions instead of lecturing. So I can't help but wonder how much faster Eli would have figured things out if he had asked a question or two before sending Samuel back to bed. Asking questions is a great way to get us into the right mindset to really listen to young people. In addition, asking questions, unlike lecturing, can be an effective way to steer young people in the right direction. In the book Sticky Faith, Kara Powell and Chap Clark rightly point out, lecturing hasn't worked. Picture you and your child talking about premarital sex. Does your child know what you think about it? Does your child know what you would want to say about it? Odds are good, the answer to both is yes. Our communication with young people needs to help them come to their own understanding of what Christ would have them do, not force our views down their throats. And finally, sharing personal faith experiences. Samuel had never heard the Lord speak before. It was something that Eli had encountered previously. Eli's experience allowed him to interpret what was going on in Samuel's life. Young people today still need the experience of others to interpret what is happening in their own lives. This is especially true during times of doubt and during times when young people feel that God has let them down. We tend to doubt God's faithfulness when we lose sight of how he has been faithful in the past. Sharing the stories in the Bible is an obvious and powerful way to remind young people of God's faithfulness, but it's equally important for young people to hear personal stories of God's faithfulness from the adults around them. So anyone who knows myself and Laura knows that we are passionate about touch points with other people's children. But what might not be so obvious is how grateful we are and all the help we have needed in raising our own kids. So I just want to point that out. And today, I think the question is threefold for us all. One, who are the young people that God has placed in your sphere of influence that he may be inviting you to help disciple? Two, what shame, doubt, or other obstacles are preventing you from stepping into a support role with young people? And finally, what past examples of God's faithfulness can you share with the young people God has placed in your life? Would you pray with me? Father God, we know we are all your children. We remember when Jesus instructed, "Let the children come," and we know you have a plan for all of the young people we encounter. Please help us to know where you are already working and moving in the life of a young person, and help us to see where you are inviting us to be a part of that working. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys, and have a great day.